We've been told 100 times to fill out the census. But what are we missing out on if we don't? I'm Tom Schein, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCowan Gordon Construction, Fidelity Bank, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, the free downtown trolley is on hiatus because of the pandemic, but an updated version is just about ready to roll.
Currently, right now, there's a big concern with regards to occupancy levels, especially at bars, and we would just like to sort of wait and see what all that happens. And that gives us time, again, to roll this out.
But first, the 2020 census count is winding down, and still about a third of Wichitans haven't responded. Census counts determine how many seats we get in Congress for the next 10 years, and federal funding for things like roads and schools. It's also worth noting that the census count affects local businesses. To talk more about that connection is KMEW's Nadia Foe.
Hi, Tom.
So lay out for us this connection between the census and local businesses. How does one impact the other?
Well, I asked that very question to Wayne Bell. He's the district director for the Small Business Administration's Wichita office. And like you said, we've heard a lot about how the census determines how many representatives we have in Congress and votes in the Electoral College. But on the business side of things, how we're counted in the census can affect a couple important business programs. One is opportunity zones, where developers can get certain tax incentives, and that's fairly new. And the other is something called the Hub Zone Program, and that stands for Historically Underutilized Business Zones. Here's how Bell explained it.
It is literally driven by the census data that reflects areas that have higher rates of unemployment. These could be rural communities as well as urban communities. And the idea is to provide federal contract opportunities to businesses that are located, that are physically located in areas that are designated as hub zone areas.
So if a business is in one of these zones and 35% of its workforce lives in a hub zone, they're eligible for certain federal contracts. The federal government has to award 3% of its contracts to hub zone businesses, which sounds small, but Bell says it's a pretty big deal when you consider the government handles about $500 billion in contracts every year.
That would be a pretty big number. So what qualifies an area as a hub zone?
So these are areas where poverty rates are higher or where household income is relatively low. And to be clear, the census count going on right now does not ask those questions about income or employment. That's more in the American Community Survey. That's done more frequently, and that does not go to every household. But Bell says any inaccurate census count could mean fewer federal resources going to a community overall.
You know, the resources are based on the demographic information or the census information. And so if there aren't individuals reflected in the count, then, you know, those incomes in the areas are not accurate. You know, those averages would not be accurate.
And how many of those hub zones do we have here, right here in Wichita?
There are 37, that's according to Bell, but there's a map online where you can see these zones, and they cover a pretty large swath of the city. So if you are a locally based business, odds are probably good that you're in one of those areas.
Good information. Thanks, Nadia.
Thank you, Tom.
When most of Wichita shut down in March, Wichita Transit's queue line downtown stopped running too. Since then, the city has retired its vintage-looking trolleys and replaced them with electric queue vehicles. KMEW's Beth Goulet took a spin on one of the new queues for this month's En Route.
Well, the electric queue is sort of new.
This is a remanufactured bus, which is $250,000 less than the cost of what this would be, even though 87% of all these components are brand new. All we've done is recycle the frame. So instead of it going to the junkyard, it's completely refurbished from the ground up.
That's Mike Tan, director of Wichita Transit. I joined him for a ride on one of the electric vehicles, which is less like a trolley and more like a shuttle.
And they obviously have a design to them. Perimeter seating, as compared to everybody looking at the back of everybody's heads. So it just is a more social, from the standpoint you can communicate, talk, but it also, too, creates a a nice wide aisleway?
The bus we were riding was originally built in 2002 and spent its years of operation in the dry climate of Arizona.
They take everything out of it and rebuild it from there up. But what we're doing is, again, obviously converting diesel to electric. You can hear how quiet it is.
Wichita Transit will have 7 of these buses, a new one arriving every week.
One coming every week, and by the end of September, all of them will be here. And then we'll start to put our new technology package in them. And the bike racks out front are the new style with 3 bikes instead of 2. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a 50% increase.
Another piece of the technology package involves safety.
Notice this bus, when we turn corners, the bus will enunciate to the people outside, bus turning left, bus turning right. So it's a safety feature that is really pretty cool.
Warning, bus turning right.
It gets people to pay attention to whether there's a bus that's in the area. So
the only question left for the electric queue line is timing. Specifically, when can the public ride it?
We're to the point now where we're still limiting how many people can be in certain areas and doing certain things. And as long as it's a limiting factor, we prefer not to create some confusion as to where those limits are, because we can obviously transport a lot of people, and there were many times on Friday and Saturday nights these things were packed. So and once we get to the point that everyone's comfortable, and whether it's after January with a vaccine or beforehand, if like during the holiday season, but we just don't want to be putting people into a position where they're not comfortable. And currently right now there's a big concern with regards to occupancy levels, especially at bars. And we would just like to sort of wait and see what all that happens. And that gives us time, again, to roll this out.
From the Electric Queue, I'm Beth Golay.
Beth Golay goes en route with transit riders across Wichita. Listen for a new conversation each month. And one last thing. Cool weather swept in like a long-lost friend this week, our reward for surviving another blast furnace of a summer. We dug out our sweatshirts and jackets. We took a stroll around the block without breaking into a sweat. The brisk air helped lift our pandemic bludgeoned psyche. Even our lawns rejoiced. It's like living in Colorado. Except, you know, without the whole mountain thing. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Today's show is produced by Nadia Foe, Stephen Basaha, and Lou Ann Stevens. Torn Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW NPR for Wichita.